It's Wednesday, January 17th, and it's championship weekend in the NFL. The Minnesota Vikings are in the NFC championship game. They might be the best team in the NFC, and the state of Wisconsin just can't admit it. To the Bucks, their roller coaster continues, and with the Rockets and Clippers fight, who would be the Bucks' biggest rival? Baseball, David Stearns had some interesting comments this week. We'll get into that a little bit as well. On Tapping the Keg Podcast, you can follow us on Twitter at Mitch Ross MKE, and that's NoTabWI. So without further ado, here's your host, Charlie Trichler.
Tapping the Keg Podcast, episode 268. Mitch on the ones and twos.
The Ocho.
Charlie here with you, hanging in there. Mitch, how you doing, buddy?
Great.
That's good. I hope you got some of you.
More important, how you are.
I'm doing well. First day back at work for me from Salt Mine, gave me a Monday off, and back at it, and feeling good, feeling great.
Great day of free league pass on Monday.
You bet. So this
did you take advantage?
No, I didn't. Not really. So this is the, like I said, this is the Tapping the Keg for 268. And you can find us on SnowTapWI, all the channels, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a rating. It's been going real well. Been really happy with the success. I don't think any of us can complain. Having some fun with it. And I hope you guys have all enjoyed it. Mitch, are you a habitual Daily Tap listener?
Not at this point, but
to be fair, you're not a cube monkey. You're not sitting at your desk. I feel like if you were sitting at the cubes, you'd be pounding out Daily Taps.
Probably.
But yeah, the response has been great. I'm glad you guys are enjoying it. I hope you still enjoy our usual Tapping the Keg week wrap up as we do. So, let's just jump right into it. Monday night, very late. The Rockets and Clippers were finishing up a game, and you were like, why are you starting here? And trust me, we'll get there. But it was like, all of a sudden, it just got into this big fracas. It was just this big, just shit show. Big, you know, all the tomfoolery, as Woj called it today. And, it kind of started bellowing, you know. I'm editing the Daily Tap for Tuesday, and I'm just kind of working and whatever, and then all of a sudden it kind of starts getting chippy. Trevor Ariza, who apparently isn't a fake tough guy, I had debated, is he a fake tough guy or a real tough guy? Apparently he's a real tough guy, because Ariza was ready to scrap after the game, looking for Austin Rivers to fight. And, you know, it was just amazing.
I think they probably all want to fight Austin Rivers.
Right. Bill Simmons.
Going back to the big baby comments, too. Remember that?
Bill Simmons had said that Austin Rivers is the second most hateable player in the league by other players. The first one is Blake Griffin. So they should just add Matthew Dellavedova and have the most hated team in the NBA. But so they were all looking for fights. Clint Capella was the distractor. I mean, they had this whole plan. Like, this was crazy.
Somebody had it on Wikipedia. He was the Trojan horse.
Yeah, the Trojan horse. Exactly. I mean, it was just a wild story. It's like, how can we not talk a little bit about it? Because we're going to weave a Bucks element into this. But it's just amazing. I mean, now everybody's going to circle Rockets Clippers on their calendar. It's on February 28th. And Wednesday, ESPN, so everyone will be there watching that game because you're going to expect something. I think a couple guys are going to get suspended for this. In fact, Gerald Green was ready to scrap after 20 days on the roster. It's incredible.
I'm sure he was.
He was. He was ready to go.
I believe it. He's
That's a Gerald Green thing. That's why bring – that's a reason.
That's true to form.
And then tonight, Tuesday night, we're taping this Tuesday.
I still can't believe we cut him.
As our friend Eric says, who says a lot of dumb things on Twitter, he did say a smart thing where he said, if you're worried about Gerald Green, you have a lot more, there are a lot of bigger fish to fry, basically. And
True. He's
right. Gerald Green's the least of our problems. So, but then tonight you get Nikola Bjelica throwing bows with Aaron Aflalo out of nowhere.
Used to be jealous of Aaron Aflalo.
The NBA is just all tuned up. It's the dog days, to be honest.
It is.
But
I mean, I'd rather see that than everybody be buddy buddy.
Yeah, do you have to retire that comment that everyone's not friends anymore? Everyone hates each other.
Yeah, it seems like
back to the 90s. Whether they like it or not, yeah, maybe the physical play.
I wouldn't go that far, but I would say that it's
It's a more, okay, let me rephrase. It's a more exciting version of the 90s. Because in the 90s, the Heat and Knicks killed basketball because they played this bully-style basketball that referees would let them get away with. Mm-hmm. And now you play a more open style, more conducive to 120, 130 points. And that's what you have.
Yep.
So that's what I would say. It's a more exciting version of the 90s.
Yeah.
Because these guys hate each other, but they figured out a way to make the game enjoyable to the aesthetic.
Griffin had some kind of comment, too, where I think he said that Trevor – I don't know if he was joking. He probably was knowing Blake Griffin, but he said Trevor Ariza asked him if he was still coming to his birthday party.
Yeah, that's – He said, I'm going to try. Totally kidding. I was watching the press conference. Okay. He was totally messing around with him.
I'm sure it was Blake Griffin tongue-in-cheek.
Right, but and it's amazing how well this team's doing without Chris Paul. I mean, Doc Rivers, it's almost like Doc Rivers needs to have just a roster full of shit, and then he just makes chicken salad out of it. Yeah. Because, you know, Lou Williams is a star.
I still don't think he's a good coach. Never really
Do you think Lou Williams deserves to be in the All-Star game before we get into the Bucks?
I don't know what his numbers are. I think a lot of it would be... It's tough as a guard in the West. That's really hard.
I think we're just living in the moment because he's on just an absolute heater right now. Like he's had 30 points in like 6 or 7 of his last games, and he's just on fire. So there's a lot of elements to it. You know, the fact that there are so many former Rockets and former Clippers on both sides of the table. Now the whole DeAndre Jordan wants to be a Rocket with Stephen A. Smith had that reported. I don't even know, man. It's crazy.
Well, he's from Houston.
Yeah, that's a good point. Actually, that's a very sound point. And him and Chris Paul are still friends. Paul, like, acknowledged that him and DeAndre are still friends, did not acknowledge that Blake Griffin and him are still friends, and said the offense should run through Lou Williams. Chris Paul knows what he's doing.
Chris Paul's also kind of a little, you know.
He's a bitch.
He is a bitch.
I was just about to say.
He's not a good leader. As he is and he isn't.
And he's the union leader for the NBA's Players Association. What kind of message is that?
I do appreciate that he, you know, gets on people kind of in Michael Jordan-esque, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't know how well that works in today's game.
He's
also haven't really won anything.
He just cries. So. He cries. He doesn't get killed in the media enough for kind of being a crybaby. Like, he is a crybaby, and no one seems to care. They just think about how tough he is and how good of a point guard he is, which he is those things.
Who was the woman who had the great tweet about happy to see Chris Paul lead his team that's like somewhere or something like that?
Oh, I don't know.
About going to the locker room after the game.
That's pretty good, though.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
So to bring the Bucks into this, you know, I kind of started wondering out loud halfway through today when I was working, like, who is the Bucks' biggest rival at this point? Who is the quintessential rival for this team? It's probably not fully there yet, but you had some thoughts.
And I will say that as far as with the Bucks, I don't think you'll ever see anything like that. I mean,
there's
way too many nice guys on this team.
No, I don't.
And a bunch of guys who haven't been around long enough to develop any type of beef.
Who would throw the first punch on the Bucks roster? Is it Deli? Is Deli the clear-cut favorite? Is he?
I mean, it would have been Greg Monroe.
Monroe did.
I don't know. Bledsoe.
I think John Henson would throw a punch, even though
John would. Yeah, that's true.
John I think, is number one.
I wouldn't. And I mean, maybe we can do this too. I know I went out there a little bit today.
Fine.
That there was
the
all time Bucks team.
Yeah.
If you had to pick on this team, you could not put three guys out
there.
No. I mean, you could, but I would not. I would not bet on them.
Larry Sanders and Bogut, I think, are my first two choices.
I think
choices.
Larry Sanders is automatic.
Larry Sanders is a lock. If you're not
such a psycho.
Exactly. Then there's the whole Ruben Patterson thing, but that's kind of weird because Ruben Patterson probably is not playing in today's NBA since he had those, you know, sexual assault charges.
True.
Good job, Herb.
What did he really do anyway to...
He's just a badass.
As far as playing, like, could he survive in today's
game? But Ruben, no, I'm saying just, you're right. And Ruben Patterson one time made Dale Davis was scared to leave his house because he said he was going to get a gun and shoot him. That's the kind of guy Ruben Patterson was.
Mm-hmm.
So just, he was bad dude. He was a bad dude.
Yeah.
So you maybe by default throw Ruben Patterson in there as your third.
Yeah. Bogut, maybe.
Bogut, yeah. I think you gotta consider Bogut. Who else had some? Sam Cassell could scrap.
Sam Cassell was a talker.
Yeah.
For sure. I don't know how much action he would
kind
provide.
Of a fake tough guy, shadow boxer.
Yeah. You know, I can only really say about my lifetime, so to speak, because, you know, or my adult life maybe. because I can't comment on like the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's of the world.
No, Kareem was a passive guy. I think Oscar Robinson would kick somebody's ass.
Maybe.
Big O would probably. There we go. So we'll see. But yeah, as for to get to the like rival part of it, it's tough because you look at it and you're like, Washington, you could argue who they played on Monday afternoon is one of them. You know, Giannis doesn't shake anyone's hand. He walks right off the court. He had no time for Markieff or John Wall. I think there's some battle lines drawn. There's been some chippy shit with those two teams in the last few years, but there hasn't been a playoff series. And I think to your point that there has to be that playoff series, and it has to be that special thing to really start developing that rivalry.
They certainly the Bucks have been able. The games that they've played this year have been close, and the road team has won every game so far this season.
Mm-hmm.
Bucks have won twice in, 10 days?
Yeah.
They played there.
And really kind of carbon copies of each other.
The game was the same. The Bucks neck and neck the whole game, and the Bucks just made more plays the last 5 minutes of the game and ended up pulling away and winning by, you know, fairly comfortable margin by the time it was all said and done.
Yeah.
So, and the Wizards have been known to be sort of hate everybody.
Yeah. The Wizards don't have a lot of fronts.
They don't necessarily harness all of their anger at the Bucks. I know they've made shots at Cleveland and, other teams as well, Beal and Wall in particular.
Right, Beal and Wall
seem to be on the whiny side.
Right, Beal and Wall are the whiny version of Dame and CJ. I mean, they're basically the same thing. You know, Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum, they're carbon copies of each other.
Yeah, I'm pretty glad that the Bucks have guys who just kind of keep their nose to the grindstone, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no one really, there's no squeaky wheels on this team,
right.
And there's no real, like, it's like, woe is me if something goes wrong and the refs screwed them out of the game. You don't really hear these guys bitch about things, you know? They just sort of, it is what it is. So the Bucks having that rival, I think the Bulls, there was some rivalry there before the Bulls are in the rebuilding stages. Now it's kind of, it's not there anymore, I would say. I think
it's kind of the natural geographical rivalry there with
exactly.
The Bulls. For sure. But outside of that, there's really, I mean, basically in my entire life, there's been no real rivalry.
No, it doesn't exist.
Because the teams are never good at the same time.
Right. And the Bucks had, I mean, for anyone in the early 2000s, Bucks had a real rivalry with Indiana. I mean, they played Indiana three times in the playoffs. They lost, I think, all three times, but they... There was a legit beef with Reggie Miller. Rick Smits, I think, had a moment where he took somebody down. I mean,
Well, yeah, the Bucks. Well, yeah, because the Bucks. Reggie Miller said the Bucks were the better team in that series, but Indiana won it. I believe that was in 2000.
Yep.
And then the Bucks took the next step the next year, which
we're
obviously still waiting for the Bucks to do that this year.
Yeah.
But I was going to say with Indiana, well, we blew them out, and then a couple days later, Indiana came out looking for quote unquote revenge. That apparently the Bucks had been warned about several times by the coaching staff.
And
apparently that message went. On deaf ears.
About as flat as
So in other words, they blew us out, we blew that. We'll see what happens in the third meeting. I think there's one coming up.
Probably.
Again.
Yeah.
So and maybe if that one's a little closer, you know, that could be kind of our biggest in. I don't really consider Cleveland a rival just because they're kind of in a different class.
Well, I think not right now. I mean, as I said on the Daily Tap yesterday, What's Wrong with Cleveland week.
Right.
And I think it's legit this time. If you guys go back and listen to that, I kind of said, I think it's more legitimate than it ever has been before.
I would say more legitimate than the last 2 years. Yeah.
Yes. I think everyone's
Isaiah Thomas is a problem on defense.
And I think everyone's fed up with LeBron. I think everyone knows he's going to LA and it's like, whatever. So, the writing is
on. For the Lakers?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's going to happen. Let's lock it in.
Interesting.
So, but yeah, you're right. So I think that's an interesting list.
If it was for frickin' LeBron, the NBA would be great.
Right.
If LeBron never existed, if he would quit bouncing team to team, that turns a lot of people off.
So Mitchy hot takes over there.
That's more closer to fact than a hot take.
Okay, whatever you say. but tweet us your responses at SnowTapWI at MitchRossMKE. Tell us who you think the Bucks rival is. Maybe you guys have a different take. Maybe you think Golden State is, which would be wild. But hey, maybe you do. So another thing that's kind of in the Bucks kind of daily grind is
I think every team thinks Golden State is their rival.
That's true.
Because they get up for Golden State and I don't think Golden State considers really.
Nah, no one gives a shit.
Now.
No. Maybe Houston a little bit.
Clippers,
or Oklahoma
maybe.
City.
Clippers were.
Yeah.
But it's a little different now with Chris Paul not there.
You're right. Yeah.
It could be Houston.
It could be Houston, yeah. So, you know, the Bucks, John Horst, different GM. We'll talk about David Stearns a little bit. John Horst was on the Big Show yesterday and kind of gave a non-response about Jason Kidd, and Bucks Twitter freaked out, as Bucks Twitter does, as Bucks Twitter hangs on every word that is said about Jason Kidd, and they now think that there's no way Jason Kidd's going to get fired. And I do not agree. I didn't listen. I just saw the quotes, and I get that the quotes weren't great, but I'm not here thinking that Jason Kidd won't get fired. And I don't know, do you think he's that tied to the hip, or do you think that there's a chance that he still could get fired this year?
Well, obviously the big thing is, well, how the owners feel, really, at the end of the day.
Right.
And we don't really know whose boy is with Jason Kidd. Everybody assumes it's Lazary. But I think there was conflicting reports over the summer on that, and which really twisted everybody up, for sure.
I think you want to put – I think that's misdirection by the Bucks ownership. They want the misdirection to say, okay, yeah, so-and-so is his guy, so no one really knows who's in whose pocket, so that you can kind of not know the battle lines.
Yeah. I mean, I think John Horst has some power in the organization.
Me too.
Obviously it's easy. Every time there's a good move, you know, the Bledsoe trade – everybody wants to give the GM credit.
Right, Horst the God.
If there's a bad move, then it's...
Fuck Horst.
Then it must have been Jason Kidd's idea.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Jason Kidd did it.
Then he's running the organization.
That's a great point.
And so, you know, I think he has some power, but I don't believe that he has the autonomy to fire Jason Kidd. I don't believe that for one second.
Yeah, so I think really he can recommend... I think he can recommend it, but I don't think he can... I don't think he can pull the official trigger.
I think some of his comments from the interview on the Big Show were pretty boilerplate. And you, just kind of GM speak, so to speak.
So do you think he mailed it in a little bit?
No, I just think that he's not going to obviously talk bad about his head coach.
No, and that's exactly
correct.
But
he said something along the lines of, well, Jason Kidd has Hall of Fame credentials, which I'll buy that.
Yeah.
Okay, as a player, of course. You know, sometimes people call him a Hall of Fame coach, but he's actually a Hall of Fame player.
Yeah, that's, no.
Is he technically even in the Hall of Fame yet?
I don't think so, not yet.
So, and then it was like, oh, I think Jason does a good job putting all the players in their best position. And I thought, wrong.
Yeah, that's false.
That's Donald Trump gif right there.
Yeah,
wrong.
Yeah, no, that's not true at all. But I do want to say this. I think what Bucks fans have to realize,
the other one was, I believe he gets them to compete every night, which is also wrong.
Also wrong. That might be the most egregious
one
three. Yeah, that might be the most egregious one. But here's the thing. The Bucks are never going to fire Jason Kidd during the season. Guys, I don't know how many times we have to go through this. The Bucks would have to, the bottom would completely have to fall out for Jason Kidd to get fired. And that is just not going to happen. I mean, I'm sure this is how Warriors fans felt in the last year of Mark Jackson.
I guess that's what I'm saying.
Fact is they, you know, weren't able to get rid of Mark Jackson until they lost to the Nuggets in the first round. That probably is what's going to have to happen to the Bucks. They're going to have to do this. So here's my stone cold lock, and we'll mark it. This is episode 268. If the Bucks finish
January 17th,
if the Bucks finish lower than a 7 seed, Jason Kidd will get fired no matter what the result is. That is a lock. Stone cold pipe lock. If the Bucks are a 6 seed, maybe. But 5 seed, probably not. But
I'll probably agree with you on that they have to probably do better than they did last year.
Yeah, and here's the thing. If the Bucks had 17 wins right now and Giannis was having the season, he would be on his ass already. So don't come at me like, oh, Kidd is unbreakable. It's not. It's all a results-driven league. And unfortunately, Giannis is having a good season. He's pulled some wins out of his ass just like he did Monday, and that's that. And so we're going to have to just go through the trials and tribulations of Jason Kidd.
And I've said this before,
all year,
that we sit here and we cry and whine, but there's still 3 games above 500, not 3 games below 500, not 10 games below 500. And I forgot about this. I actually haven't fact-checked you on this, but you said last year they were 22-29 when Jabari got hurt.
Yes.
I don't remember them being that bad, but it very well could have been.
Yes, they were.
And I don't think we'll be that bad this year.
Nope.
And you're getting Jabari back.
Right. And
which is going to be so big, because I think Middleton is starting to run out of gas.
Yep.
He's obviously not the greatest condition player. That's just how he is. He's not in the greatest shape of players in the NBA. You know what I mean? Like he's not
right.
He's just gonna run out of gas. That's just how it is. And I think that's what's happening.
One of our
granted, he had a decent game on Monday against the Wizards, But
that was his first
absolute
one.
Dog shit for two games before that.
Well, I mean, he was hungover at South Beach. They all were hungover. I mean, let's
Somebody said Bledsoe was out till 4 in the morning before the game.
Oh, that makes all the sense in the world. I'm not surprised.
Well, in that Heat game, both teams were hungover in the first half.
The Heat had the
home cooking there a little bit. They had the home court advantage where, you know,
they slept in their own bed.
Everybody was out till 4 or 5 in the morning.
Yeah, they had their own bed.
I've never been to Miami, but everybody knows that the party didn't start till about, you know, 2 or 3 in the morning in Miami.
Right. They didn't have new smokes to worry about. They had their same smokes. Like, there was a new,
you're more apt to be drinking at 8 a.m. than, like, probably 8 p.m. in Miami. Just
great.
Cause that's the way they
do it. That's life, man. So, that's how it goes.
Especially when you're a young, rich millionaire.
Yeah. So, you see the Instagram miles that are down there? I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's plentiful. And so a lot of DMs to be slid in.
Oh, God. I mean, I'd kill to, like, give me Eric Bledsoe's phone. Let me see what it was. Give me John Henson's phone for that 24-hour period.
Henson just shooting a shot.
Oh, Henson's
right.
Just like, whoo.
Henson's actually from Florida, so he's probably got some.
He's from Tampa.
I'm sure, he probably knows a lot of girls that moved from Tampa. Yeah. All over the state of Florida.
Okay.
To Miami.
Fair enough. Yeah, no. So we'll see. I think, you know, Bucks just need to go 1-1 this week with Miami and Philly. I don't care which one you win. I'd like to see them beat Miami because you're chasing them in the playoffs somehow.
Have all the bad losses this year by the Bucks been offset by a good win?
Yeah, kind of.
Kind of, right?
So it's and you,
obviously they still need to get hot at some point.
You'd like to think that they'd want to beat both of these teams, Miami, for the reason of that, you know, the fact they just got.
I think it's a different story that when you're back at home and
the
Bucks are turning into a sneaky good home team.
Oh yeah, the Heat won't have Tyler Johnson, who I think had a bad ankle injury
on Monday.
They probably don't have him, which means more Dragic and more Whiteside, but. And Whiteside's a terror for the Bucks, but you can get him into foul trouble with Giannis attacking the rim. And Giannis just has to be the guy. And I said this on the podcast yesterday, but Giannis, just the usage rates cannot dip with Giannis.
Yeah, he has to shoot 20 times
a
game.
Yeah, exactly. 12 times is inexcusable. And then Philly, there's a little rivalry with Philly, more so with the fans than there are with the actual players.
Well, Philly could easily be a rival. They could certainly.
Oh, yeah. That could be your rival in 5 years because of all the youth on both teams.
Mm-hmm. I definitely think that, you know, maybe not this year. I think Washington becomes your rival this year. You're probably going to end up playing them in the playoffs.
Oh, God, that'd be a great series. That might kill me, but it'd be a great series.
If you put a gun to my head right now, I bet you those two teams would be the 4 and the 5.
Yeah, I could see that.
At the end of the day.
I think that's entirely plausible.
Don't ask me which one.
No.
The Bucks actually do get home court advantage. I don't know if I'd put my life on the line for that right now.
No, I don't think so.
But I bet you that's what it ends up being.
Yeah, no.
It looks like Toronto, Cleveland, and Boston are probably going to, you know, some sort is going to fight their way 1 through 3 there.
So,
and after that, it's pretty wide open.
So when are we ready to have the conversation that Toronto is a legit NBA Finals contender? When is that conversation going to actually happen?
Probably they're going to have to, you know, get through Cleveland at some
point.
They're going to have to show. Well, they blew out Cleveland.
I mean, DeMar DeRozan is shooting 42% from three.
Yeah,
he's arguably an MVP candidate. Like, they're running the offense through him. Kyle Lowry is more than happy to defer to him. Kyle Lowry's usage is way down. They have Serge Ibaka, who's a solid player.
They've adjusted that
offense. Dwayne Casey is an underrated, like, top 10 coach.
They're probably going to need, like, another bench piece.
Absolutely. They have a lot of young guys.
Which Masai Ujiri has showed the propensity to do. He picked up PJ Tucker last year. You know, they're probably going to need like another, I don't know, like another two pat maybe, or somebody who, I don't know.
Right.
Not sure what they need.
Right. But I mean, for what was really impressive,
Valanciunas is they're using him properly. They're like, everybody's getting used properly for the Raptors.
The Raptors are how the Bucks should be modeled, but that's here and there. Well, not really, but you know what I mean. Like, just everybody's getting used, like, minutes. My biggest issue with Jason Kidd more than anything else is minutes. And that is, I don't understand it. I don't get it. I understand it's hard to manage that sort of shit. But
I think he's finally starting to trust Sterling Brown a little bit.
Well, thank fucking God.
This guy's
probably the best defender on the team. And it took you how fucking long to realize this?
Probably cost him the game on Friday against Golden State.
Yes. Jason Kidd deserved that. Oh, that was pathetic.
It took me a good 2 hours to cool off after that game.
Yeah, I was not pleased.
I mean, you shouldn't have won that game anyway, but I don't know. At least give yourself the best chance.
He drove me to maybe getting popcorn at Downer Theater after I'd already had a full meal and we had treats in our bag. Like, but I still was just wanting to depressingly eat popcorn as I watched this movie. Like, jeez. Yeah. So, but what I was finishing, my last finishing thought on Toronto was what really impressed me is the fact that Toronto was down 81-54 at halftime of the game against Golden State on Saturday, and they only lost by like 4 points. And I know that's like today's NBA. No,
81-54.
They were down at halftime.
81 points at halftime.
The Warriors put up 81 at that. Yes, they did. Look it up.
Is that possible?
Yes.
Wow.
It was incredible. I only know this type of shit because I gamble each night, and I had a lot of rap.
I mean, I didn't look into that too much.
DeRozan had, I think, 42 that night in a losing effort.
Well, it could be, but I'm trying to just verify the Golden State Warriors at 81 points at half. Is that a record?
No, I think 90, around 90 is like a record.
Good Lord. That's insane.
You fact checking me here?
Yeah. What day was it? Saturday, right?
Saturday.
They only scored 127. Yeah, they did. Wow. 43-38. God
good,
damn.
Good quick math there. I like it. So moving on, since we've talked a lot about the NBA, so all you NBA fans, I hope you're happy. Moving on to...
I am. Thank you.
Do what I can. So the NFL is wrapping up. We only have 3 total games left. One involving the Minnesota Vikings and that air horn we won't hear this weekend because is that what you're going to play now?
Yeah.
Is that what you're doing? You son of a bitch. That horn.
Let's see if I can get it.
That horn. Wow.
There it is.
Oh, terrible. I'm sorry. We just triggered so many Packer fans. So many Packer fans just turned us off right now. Oh, it's terrible.
All right, I'm done.
Just awful. So, I think this is a tough week for Packer fans. Everyone is Eagles fans. This is a weird, weird feeling because you see this, the Minneapolis Miracle or the Minnesota Miracle, one of the most amazing plays you'll ever see in NFL history. It's going to go down in the realms.
How many swear words were uttered by one Charles Trichler?
Mike asked me if I was okay. I sunk in my chair and I swore, got up. Swore again, was like, God damn it. And just was like, you know, and I was just so mad. And it felt like a Packer loss. It really did. It felt that hard because you actually now have to start buying into the Vikings, maybe getting to the Super Bowl and heaven forbid winning the Super Bowl. And that is just a scary thought. And some people are like, well, why does it matter? Like Fant asked me, who's a Bears fan, why does it matter? Why do you care so much? And the Vikings and Packers have always had this battle for superiority. I can't say. There we go. Third time's a charm.
That's a weird word.
Yeah. They've always battled for who is the king of the North. It has always been a battle. The Vikings have number 5 in most wins in the Super Bowl era, and they're the only team in the top 10 without 2 Super Bowl wins. That's a wild stat.
Wait, they have the most wins in the Super Bowl era?
Fifth most.
Fifth most wins? Wow.
Yeah,
they've been pretty consistent then.
Absolutely. But they haven't shown in the playoffs, and that's crazy.
Right. I mean, they have had some good teams.
They've had some really good teams.
They've got some studs in their history. Chris Carter and Randy Moss.
It's ebbed and flowed with the Packers and Vikings, and I think that's why the fans have a general disdain for each other, because it's not like a little brother situation like the Lions who nip at your heels, and the Bears are always going to be your rivals, but it hasn't been a real rivalry in 20 years. This has been the rivalry for the Packers of the last 25, 20 years.
The rivalry podcast right
Absolutely.
Here.
And you add the... That's a good title. Mm-hmm. You have this whole thing with the Favre. The Favre thing added a whole element.
Certainly.
And for me and other people, when you go to schools like Eau Claire, La Crosse, even Stevens Point, I'll throw River Falls in there, you deal with a lot of Vikings fans. Mm-hmm. Even Platteville, too, for that matter. You know, you just deal with Vikings fans more often than not. So I think you've grown accustomed to, like, being like, wow, I fucking hate you. You're just cocky assholes. And we talked about it last week. They're short guys. They act like, that was 2 weeks ago, I think. They're the short guys at the bar who think that they just can run their mouth and all they do is yap. and they've not done shit. And so now there's a chance they could actually do shit. And it's a scary thought. It's a scary thought. Case Keenum could be Kurt Warner 2.0. That's terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, Case Keenum's not bad.
No.
He was a great college quarterback, so it's not like, you know, he doesn't know how to play football, is I guess what I'm getting at. So, crazy play for sure, and it got Pat Shurmur a head job.
Again. Yeah, I think Pat Shurmur deserves another head job. I mean, you say, oh, well, but what he's done with this roster has been very impressive. I remember I laughed. I was like, oh, they're bringing in an old Browns coach. That should work well. But they got rid of Norv Turner. That was the best move they ever did, was get rid of Norv Turner. And they got younger, got smarter, and it's worked out well for them. And you think about how good this team could have been if Dalvin Cook's on the roster. I mean, it's crazy. The Vikings are set up for long-term success. And that I think, is the part that scares Packer fans, when you're like, Packer fans aren't afraid to admit it. This is going to be a habitual battle with the Packers and Vikings for the next five or 6 years.
It has been, actually. I mean, Adrian Peterson, too, with those days.
Yeah.
I mean, when he was in his prime.
I think what also gets under people's skin is, I think they are, like, they're not a dirty team, but they're not a clean team either, if you catch my drift.
Well, they were the team that hurt Aaron Rodgers this year.
But they do a lot of borderline shit. They come in high on Drew Brees.
I'm not defending them. I'm not saying they're scumbags, but they were the team that hurt Aaron Rodgers, so that's why. Another reason why Packer fans / Wisconsin, you know, doesn't like the Vikings this year.
Right.
They cost them a season.
It would be better, though, if the Jaguars beat them in the Super Bowl than the Patriots. I'll say that. It would be amazing, because the Vikings would be favored. Oh, man.
They'd probably get out to a lead.
Yes. And you know, Mitch, that I have fully jumped on the Jaguars bandwagon.
For sure.
And how can you not?
So,
go ahead.
I would say,
We'll keep with the Vikings.
Right. I'll bring this in. Now, I more or less accused you today of rooting for the Cubs in 2016.
I got that.
And
I was not happy with you.
Yeah, well, I know you kind of denied it. I think there was some definitely rooting interest there. There was some genuine interest.
Okay, so let's unpack that.
But you're not rooting for the Vikings.
Absolutely not. 100% no. I do not want to see that story. I want them to lose about 41-0 on Sunday. I'm fully ready to get for a Vikings Super Bowl. My head is preparing.
Chuck's got his swim trunks on. He's ready to bathe in their tears.
My head is preparing for a Vikings Super Bowl. My heart is telling me that maybe, just maybe, Big Dick Nick can somehow find a way and get this thing done for Philly and do it for Rocky.
I don't know where Foles is.
The Jeff Fisher Bowl, as part of my take, called it.
Yeah.
So let's go back to the Cubs thing. So the thing with the Cubs, and it's different with the Vikings, because the Cubs had a likable roster. I don't think that the Cubs and Brewers wasn't really the rivalry that I think it is today, with what happened in 2017 and what had transpired there. And the fact is that Rizzo, Bryant are good guys. There's nothing really wrong. Jake Arrieta, another guy who's a genuinely good human being. Aroldis Chapman, piece of shit. But that was it. That was really it. You didn't have a lot of bad guys in that roster. They didn't really feel like the evil empire. And it wasn't that you were cheering against the Cubs. It was more just you were cheering for the story. And yes, I had a roommate who was a Cubs fan, who it was a love for that team, and to see him get to celebrate that was really fucking cool. It was really cool to just see that happen. Now, am I going to be happy for my guy Jordan T for celebrating a Vikings Super Bowl? Absolutely not. Because here's the thing. He'll hold it over my head. And maybe because my roommate is maybe the nicest Chicago fan that you'll ever meet.
Yeah.
The guy is a golden retriever. He'll never say a bad word. Maybe that is why I had not the sort of vitriol that I do for Vikings fans, is because he's a saint, and I laughing at him isn't fun because he just deflects and is like, whatever. Jordan T, it's like a whole argument, and he'd give me 100 reasons why Goodell screwed him or something like that.
Yeah, it'd be 12 hours on how great the Vikings are.
Right? Yeah, exactly. You'd never hear the end of it.
And you'd never be able to go up there.
Right. Again. You'd never hear the end of it from fans and that's the scariest thing. Like, for work, I have to go up there a week after
the
Super Bowl.
Not to mention, it'll be 2 weeks on how great Stephon Diggs' catch was.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. That's the silly season. We get into the real silly season. But if you don't want Jalen Ramsey at Media Day, I don't know why. I don't even know why we're doing this thing. Get the Jaguars to the Super Bowl, man. That team, I just love how cocky
Jags,
they are.
Man, the Jags, that defense. A lot of luck into their season, I think, just in terms of health. They spent a lot of money on their defense.
Oh, yeah.
It's impossible to block Calais Campbell.
A lot of people are going to point to the Jaguars and say that's how they want the Packers to look.
Not to slight the Jags, but how do you end up falling to the Jags?
He wanted to go there.
Did he?
Yeah. I think he wanted to play for Gus Bradley. You know, he obviously had some familiarity with Gus.
Being an NFC West guy.
I mean, he got paid. Like, Calais Campbell got a big-ass contract. Let's see if I can find it here on Sport Rec. 4 years, $60 million, $6 million signing bonus, $30 million of that guaranteed.
So he's making about $15 million a year.
Yes, that is a massive.
That's got to be like the highest paid.
He spurned the Broncos tried to get him in, and he spurned the.
Could you imagine Von Miller and Calais Campbell on the same defensive front? That's crazy. Bruh.
No way.
Derek Carr would be probably dead.
Yes. But
that would be unfortunate.
But apparently the Jaguars gave him, and this was exactly what they did the year before with Malik Jackson. So, Packers can do some similar shit, and we'll just see if they will.
The Packers would actually, go out and sign a couple guys. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of I've noticed this a lot. There's a lot of the anti-Packers are advancing in the playoffs. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Packers are built around a superstar quarterback. Well, there's a lot of teams left that are built around good defense and running games and, hard-nosed football, I guess, so to speak. So you've heard a lot of – I heard somebody call in to Bill's show the other day saying, I would rather have a good defense and two good running backs than a star quarterback. And I just thought, talk to me in 2 years after that. You'd still rather have the star quarterback.
I will say this. Terrell Davis, formerly of the Denver Broncos, now NFL Network, I believe, made an interesting point that he thinks more teams are going to running backs because there's less successful quarterback play, and that more people are shifting back to run-first offenses because there's just so many average quarterbacks. And Danny Kelly of The Ringer wrote, you still have to have a franchise quarterback to win. And I think long-term success, yes, you really never see these defensive-built teams last. The Eagles can last because Carson Wentz. He's a franchise quarterback.
Correct. There is the defensive stuff. There's just so much riding on injuries and luck with defense. At the end of the day, the star quarterback is going to keep you relevant for longer.
And the Vikings have an interesting decision. I'm sure we'll talk about this either next week, week after.
Oh, yeah. The Vikings might be sneaky screwed.
I think the quarterback thing is a huge. It will literally define the franchise for the next five to ten years.
They're going to enjoy this right now while it's happening, but then have one of the biggest decisions of their franchise.
You know, Rick Spielman is just absolutely shitting himself. He knows that this gorilla is just hanging out in the corner, and he has this monkey that's just hanging on his back.
They have an MFK situation.
Absolutely, they're a total MFK.
And do they let Case Keenum walk? I don't know.
I almost think you do.
I think they have to.
I think you do because I think what you
but
do.
But do you trust any of those other guys they have?
You have to roll with – you do an open competition, and if Bridgewater's ready to go game one, you trade Bradford, and that's what you do.
I think you trade him anyway.
I think
he's the guy you get rid of.
I also think – okay, so here – no. I think you keep both of them, but you draft a quarterback in about the fourth or fifth round. You have to, yeah, in case Bridgewater is not the same player. But if Bridgewater – if they've seen enough in practice that they know Bridgewater can't be back to full strength, then you sign Keenum. That's how it goes. If you think Bridgewater can come back, then do it. But if he's not there and he's going to have the yips, if he's going to Markelle Fultz it, which is a wild story that we haven't talked about, but but yeah, that's one where you just go. So yeah, there's that whole thing. So yeah,
you got any picks this weekend? I mean,
I'm just gonna go with my heart. I think the Eagles muddy it up. I think not enough people are talking about the fact that Case Keenum has been really bad under pressure this year, and that Minnesota will not be able to run the ball against that defense.
Yeah.
That is a really good run defense.
Have a really good defense too.
I think it's about 16-14 Eagles. I think Jake Elliott hits a game winner. I think it's a heartbreak for the Vikings again.
Man. I could see it being similar to like this last game where, you know, the Vikings get out to a lead, they start to coast
and
a little
bit. Zimmer missed. Defensive coaches do that all the time. That doesn't get talked about enough, but defensive coaches they do not know how to hold leads. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
So I think that, you know, and I did kind of forget the Eagles defense is so good because they got written off, you know, last week.
Yeah.
You know, so, and Atlanta's offense is legit. That Eagles defense, I mean, Case Keenum, I guess the Saints defense wasn't as good as we thought they were. I don't know. But Eagles are at home. Man.
Do you want the weather report?
It's probably not too bad, is it?
Nah, I think
they said a
week outlook, they said 54.
54 degrees in Philly?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I
don't think the weather is going to be a factor. The bottom line is they usually get like what we have the next day, and it's supposed to be really nice on Saturday here. Give me the Eagles, I guess.
All right.
The Eagles. Do you think Jacksonville can beat New England?
Yeah, I do. I think they have the defense that the type that frustrates Brady, it pressures Brady. But the biggest thing,
you can't bet against Tom. So.
Nope. The biggest thing is the first quarter. If the Patriots punch the Jaguars in the mouth and they get up to a 10-0 lead, a 14-0 lead.
Well, Tennessee was up 7-0 and everybody thought.
Right, but I'm saying if they have to use Blake Bortles' arm to win this game, they're not winning. I love Blake Bortles, but it's just not happening. I still think it's really close. I think it's a really good football game. I go 24-21 Patriots.
Yeah.
I think the spread is ridiculous. 9 points is way too much.
Yeah, I'll go 27-20.
Okay.
You know, so a little wider.
A little wider.
Maybe a backdoor touchdown late.
Don't sleep on the Fournette angle as well. Patriots have not been good against the run all season. Mm-hmm. That's a little sneaky thing about the Patriots.
Pats have like the 29th ranked defense.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's they're the only one. So, yeah. So, there's that. So, we got a little hot stuff talk before we wrap it up here. We're going long.
A little bit.
We'll just do
a brief here.
I mean, real brief. I mean, David Stearns was on your station. Let me speak. That was a mess. Jumbled. Okay. So yes, David Stearns on WSSP basically said Travis Shaw plans to be a Brewer for a long time. That's great. I thought that was all smoke from Jim Bowden anyways. He's not the most reliable source, and I think we all knew that.
I mean,
I
could live with Mike Moustakas and Travis Shaw, don't get me wrong.
I think that would be the thing.
I think you just put Shaw first.
Oh, no, or Moustakas. He's had over 10 errors in each of his seasons that he's stayed healthy.
I don't know what I got to do to convince you that Travis Shaw is a natural first baseman. But
I mean, this is our new version of is Carlos Gomez a power hitter or a guy who hits on the ground?
I guess.
It's our new version.
I mean, Travis Shaw is not a third baseman.
I don't know if Mike Moustakas is either.
Well,
so
I guess we need a DH.
Then there's that. There's the whole idea that Josh Hader, he wants to get him in as many games as possible. I think you could see some freaky shit with Josh Hader.
Yep.
Just from the sense of it might be, he might come in the third inning and pitch till the seventh. He may
start a game, go 4 or 5.
Yeah. I think they want to experiment. I think there is going to be the great Josh Hader experiment. It's going to drive old school baseball fans crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And us guys who have a half of a brand, I think we're actually going to enjoy it, and we're going to have a lot of fun with it. And then Josh Harrison said today to Keith Rosenthal, that he wants to be traded from the Pirates if they don't plan to contend. I know a team in Milwaukee who would be happy to have Josh Harrison. He's killed the Brewers enough.
And to that point, David Stearns also said that he wouldn't be surprised if the Brewers made a substantive move by spring training.
Right,
so,
and they apparently
whatever that means.
I think it means that they're going to sign a pitcher, and I think it might be Arrieta. I think they're going to probably try to get Arrieta to come down on price and see if they can't get like a 3-year, $20 million deal per year.
Say.
No.
Sign me up for
No. I'm not.
60, it's not my
three
money.
Three for 60, I could do. I don't think I can do four. 3 years for Arrieta.
I'd probably give him whatever he wanted per year, but I wouldn't want that fourth year.
No. Yeah, that's a good point. I would.
Then you get a borderline Matt Garza, right. Jeff Suppan territory.
Yeah, exactly.
Where you're just sick of the guy by like that after 2 years.
Yeah. Although you got to give Garza credit for playing with half the season with a torn labrum. I don't know if that's crazy or just dumb. But and the Brewers not shutting him down is another
no
thought.
No, he, Matt Garza,
he hit it.
It's
he
crazy.
Probably hit. Well, yeah, because he's just a psycho.
Yeah,
so
Garza probably punched a wall somewhere.
Yeah. I'm happy. I'm just happy to not watch Matt Garza pitch. It's kind of like the year after.
How about them figuring out the little loophole to get out of his
so beautiful
get out of his like his option or whatever.
It's why David Stearns is the best, and why I anything David Stearns does, I'll probably be on board with. If you look at the package they got back from Houston, it's still incredible.
Yeah.
You look at all those guys; it's phenomenal.
And I don't even know who Carlos Gomez plays for.
Maybe Texas.
Was he on Seattle? I feel like he's played for the whole AL West.
Yeah, he's made his rounds. I think he re-signed with the Rangers.
Okay. Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah, that's a hell of a trade. I mean,
it's
Jesus.
Incredible. It's absolutely.
And now they're going to use probably a guy or two of that, you know.
To probably move some pieces.
Probably going to end up trading Domingo Santana at some point.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's the interesting thing is like it seems like what I've heard Richard Justice said like the other day, like that they're like 0% chance they move any of their prospects, that they think the guys that are coming up are better than the guys they have on the roster now, which is a big claim given that they won 86 games.
Yeah.
If that's the case, then you're absolutely right. They're going to look to move Domingo. I don't think they're going to be able to move Ryan Braun with the contract that he has. I just don't think that's going to happen. I think Doug Melvin did. I'm sure David Stearns at least curses Doug Melvin out once a day about how he set up Ryan Braun's contract. You have to think so, right?
I guess it just inflates as it goes, right?
Right. But this is a positive pro Ryan Braun podcast. Let the record show.
Let it be known. Yeah.
Let it be known that we will plan the bar crawl if Ryan Braun does get traded. That a ceremonial bar crawl.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, it'll be weird not having Andrew McCutchen in with the Giants. Apparently, there's some rumors that they might become the favorite for Lorenzo Cain because McCutchen's been told that he's going to play a corner outfield. So it's either probably coming down to Lorenzo Cain or Jared Dyson for that center field. So the Giants were obviously fed up with losing. Giants kind of like Packer-esque, just sort of said, all right, screw this.
They have no... The problem with the Giants is they have no farm system and they didn't get younger. So
right, they're gonna kind of try to do what the Angels have done in the past and get a bunch of guys and
just
see if it works.
Buy guys and trade their way to
and
back
see,
to contention.
See if it works. I mean, I don't know if it will. I'm not that excited about Evan Longoria. McCutchen can have hit doubles and triples all over the place, but he isn't the same power hitter as he used to be. And if they get Lorenzo Cain, I think then they do have like three
so
guys
have
who just
McCutchen
hit.
Play right field.
Yeah, he was told either corner, left or right. So yes, getting Brewers will get fat on the Pirates and Reds next year. That's good.
We hope.
So, well, you got anything else before we ride
it.
Off into the sunset?
That's it. Let's get out.
No Aaron Rodgers Danica takes. I can't believe it. We're the only podcast not talking Aaron Rodgers Danica.
Well, why bring it up if you don't care?
Exactly. That is exactly right. I set him up and he spiked it down, folks. A regular Misty May. So for Mitch, I'm Charlie. You guys have a good week. Fly, Eagles, fly. Goodbye.
See ya.